Welcome, everybody. It's time again for another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today. At the intersection of data-driven decision-making and marketing practices with our host, Cindy Greenglass. Hey, Cindy.
Hey, Paul. Today, I am your host, Cindy Greenglass, and we have as our guest Jennifer Holt. Jennifer is going to help us navigate the maze of data so that we can create a roadmap that helps us and our business stay relevant and alive. Jennifer Holt is a tenured marketing professional with over 25 years of direct industry experience, encompassing all aspects of the field. She is a wealth of industry and educational knowledge. She serves as adjunct marketing advertising professor at Northern Kentucky University and also at West Virginia University, where we both teach in the data marketing communications Masters of Science program. Jennifer's an active member in the community and an advocate for charitable organizations. She is currently working as an account director of Kroger OnSite in Cincinnati for SPINS. Previously, Jennifer held leadership positions in other companies and was VP of marketing at RiskAware, where she developed and implemented overall marketing strategies and brand architecture. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to speak with you today.
It's wonderful having you on the show. Thank you for your time. Let me kick us off and set the stage for our audience and ask you to explain, what do you mean by the statement, everything starts and ends with data?
Like I said, when we had chatted before this call, you know, data is very powerful, but only if you know what it means and how to use it. So today, most companies start a process with an end goal. They know where they want to go. They know what they want to do. They know who they want to be. However, they need data to start this process. Data will define a clear marketing position within their competitive landscape of where they are now, because you need to know where do you stand in the minds of your consumers and, you know, and in the competitive landscape. So this will help companies guide, plan, and track all of their marketing efforts throughout the process of reaching their end goal of becoming that company of who they want to be for the customers that they want to be that for. So it becomes this never-ending circle. It just keeps going around and around because the process continues to repeat. Companies need to know, you know, where you are, where you want to go, how you're going to get there, and then you use the data to measure and define success by always tying this end data back to your beginning data of where you started so that you can measure and change and track all your progress.
It sounds like the never-ending story, right?
It's one big circle. It exactly is. Yes, all the time.
I feel like marketers today are a little bit like a line out of the Rime of the Ancient Mariner, a poem by Coleridge, and in which a sailor is surrounded by plenty but cannot take advantage of it. I don't know if this sounds familiar to our audience or yourself. Water, water everywhere, and all the boards did shrink. Water, water everywhere, nor a drop to drink. And that's kind of reminds me of data, and you're talking about all this data, behavioral data, transaction data. It's available in such huge amounts. One would say, you know, we're not swimming in data. We're drowning in data. We can't drink the data, but we're drinking from a fire hose. What happens now that we can actually measure everything in this unending volume of data?
Gosh, yeah, and I hear you. It's really, truly unbelievable how much data there is today. I mean, a few years ago, we had never even heard big data. And you're right. Now, more than ever, we are absolutely drowning in data. We have all the data that we need, and then we go out and we collect more. So we're continually creating more data for ourselves. And I actually just read that 90% of today's data that exists has actually been created in the past 2 years. So It's in a wealth of, you know, terabytes and, you know, everything that we, you know, couldn't even have imagined a few years ago. But although we can measure everything and we have all this data, it doesn't mean that we should. So as companies, we have to be selective to ensure that the data we're measuring is actually good data and that it's useful data. Because I tell my students this all the time. More data isn't always better. Sometimes more is just more. And more data can actually sometimes lead to confusion. So sometimes we actually need less data and more action. We have to keep in mind that numbers are a universal language, but only if we all interpret them the same way. So that's why the data insights are so powerful.
Ah, I love that. It's only relevant if we all interpret it the same way. So let me start with asking you, how do you get people on the same page to interpret data the same way? You and I can both be looking at the same raw data or a report, and how do you get people then foundationally interpreting or reading it the same way and not looking at it like we're speaking two different languages?
That's a great question. And, you know, it's something that we face every day in the industry because I could look at data and see one thing. You could look at data and see another thing. So one of the things that we have to do is, you know, really look at those tried and true analytical tools that we all have at our disposal. And once you start looking at the data and breaking it down in those traditional foundational ways, the story does start to come out and it does start the data does start to tell the same story. So that's really, you know, the core, I would say, of looking at the data in the same way. We need to know, you know, why was that data collected? How was that data collected? And then be able to know what the goal of that data was. And I think one of the main tools is you always have to have it in context. So knowing all the basis of where that came from and what the purpose of it was really helped start defining how you look at that data and the tools you use to analyze the data.
So but when you say where like it came from, you mean the source of the data, the actual source of it?
Absolutely, because, you know, unfortunately, not all data is good data. You know, I mentioned this a few minutes ago, and, you know, we shouldn't use all the data. So especially today, you know, we have, like I mentioned, we have so much data in today's landscape, but a large portion of the data today is consumer-generated data. I mean, think about every time you're on your phone, you're on your iPad, you're on your computer, you know, you click into a social media account, you go to Google and you look something up, you shop, and it's amazing that then all of a sudden, you know, you start getting offers for that, you know, you know, little things start to click up in your sidebars. And, you know, that's marketing, and it's very powerful. But we have to be able to separate, well, what data should we be using? So, and what data, like I mentioned, is good data and bad data? And starting at the very essence of that is, you know, as a marketing researcher, you clean your data first. But that's it. That's data that you yourself collected. So what if it's not? You know, unfortunately, bad data is a part of the world we live in, and it's very much a part of most companies' data sets. And, you know, bad data can quickly cause a ripple effect. It can spiral out of control, cause all types of issues. I mean, think about it. We see it all the time. You see it in the news. You see it, you know, come across your social media feeds. Consumers love nothing more than to thrive on hype and controversy. But this can be very difficult for a company. I mean, one wrong social media post or consumer service, you know, or customer service experience, you know, that used to be the simple conversation between a company and a customer, now can be heard around the world in a matter of minutes. So it's really important, you know, that companies stay on top of this data. They have to get a handle on a situation quickly. If this would happen, they would want to address it. They would want to correct it. But really importantly, you know, companies today have power. They have the power to be in a conversation with their consumers to help what data is being created and what's being said. So You know, I always say, you know, we want to keep our data close and our customers close, but, you know, we do want to keep that at arm's length, because keeping the good data on the forefront, you know, helps us use those active marketing approaches that I just talked about, where, you know, we can see what a consumer is doing and, you know, we can look at their feeds or, you know, their computer path and be able to target them. But it's really important to emphasize, you know, the tried and true efforts of the facts of the data and that primary data that companies are collecting, because data at its core still has to be reliable and it has to be validated. So reputable data sources that are statistically significant, sorry about that, are really the key drivers. And that's what is still driving business decisions today.
Great. Well, thank you, Jennifer. We're going to break in a minute or two. I just wanted to have you hold on to a thought after we take our quick break.
Sure.
Let's come back and talk about what data then should we avoid using in your experience, if you had to think about it while we go on break, one or two examples of data that you would say as marketers we should avoid using because experience has shown you that while it seems tempting, it can lead us down a bad pathway. And so let's hold that question. Let's give you a chance to think about it, and we're going to take a quick break.
That sounds great.
And we just want to give you a couple of quick thoughts as you digest everything that's being said here today. The first is, well, marketing is about more than ads and press releases. I think we all know that. Marketing is about building relationships. Connect with other marketing professionals at West Virginia University's Integrate Conference in Morgantown, West Virginia, coming up August 1st through 4th. Network and learn from industry leaders. Speakers represent large and innovative organizations like Cisco and Facebook, as well as agencies like Cappuccino and Fujikata. Register today at integrate.wvu.edu. That's integrate.wvu.edu. And one more thought, that West Virginia University's online data marketing communications program is the first graduate-level program to focus on data's impact on marketing communications. That's really what we talk about here every show. Learn innovative strategies from award-winning faculty as you shape the future of marketing. Learn more at dmc.wvu.edu. That's dmc.wvu for West Virginia University.edu. And with that, we head back to Cindy.
Thank you, Paul. Yes, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Sounds a little bit like the alphabet.
It is. Jennifer, lots of letters and stuff in there and everything. Do I pronounce, I should ask you on air here, we'll ask you, how do we say, do I say that right? Cappuccino and Fujikata?
Yes, this is great. I'm proud of you.
Okay.
It's like the Olympics, right, where you have to kind of have things spelled out phonetically to all the interesting names.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I look forward to hearing more about this conference coming up in August here, so I'm sure we'll talk more about it as the show progresses here.
It's a wonderful opportunity for current students, prospective students interested in pursuing a master's education, and marketers to really network together and hear terrific presentations. And Morgantown is beautiful that time of year, too. So I encourage anyone interested in checking that out at the link that Paul shared with us. So thank you, Paul. All right. We're back with Jennifer Holt, and we're going to attack that question I left off with right before the break. I asked Jennifer to take a few minutes and think about what is some data that she, in her experience, would suggest we avoid using. Just because we can doesn't mean we should, as Jennifer said, and that while we have access to all this data, not all data is good data. So, Jennifer, can you give us an example or two of maybe share an experience you had or just from your vast experience, share with us something that you would highly recommend us as marketers not get enticed into using?
Absolutely. I think what would come to mind right off the top of my head would be, so enticing to use some of the social media data that is spiraling out of control that we hear on some of the news feeds. And I would caution against using anything that is, like I mentioned, spiraling out of control. And it wasn't data that didn't have an intended purpose, but instead kind of became data. And what usually happens with things like that is the audience isn't maybe the audience that is your customer base. It could be several different audiences. The data could be skewed. The actual question could get very, very, stretched or really just misleading or even leading consumers to respond in certain ways. So even though this can create a wealth of data very quickly, it's not necessarily the data that we would want to focus all of our attention on as a company. It might be good to listen to it, but the best thing to do in a situation like that, because I have seen companies act and then they'll react quickly. And I think it's okay if it's acknowledged, but not necessarily acted upon right away. The best way to tackle something like that would be to actually then do a marketing research study. And, can you believe I even said that? We're drowning in data, yet I'm recommending go collect more. but that might be the best option there because, like I said, you do want to make sure that any data that you're using to make a business decision is reliable and validated data. And there's really no better way to do that than to start fresh if it's really something in question.
So market research, data that you own or that you have that's yours and not necessarily third party where you don't know where it came from or the source. And then what I hear you say is context. It sounds like data out of context is a poor use of data. So being sure you understand the context in which that data or that information was acquired so that you know whether you are interpreting it correctly. Would you agree with those three takeaways?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm not saying don't pay attention. I think when we think about what data really matters, we should pay attention. And if there is data getting attention, especially in the world of social media, it needs your attention. Whether or not that data is valid or reputable, it's not your job as a company to necessarily attend to that, but it is your job as a company to make sure any data that you act upon or make a business decision, you would make sure that, of the context and that it is reputable and that you know the source of the data and why it was collected, how, from who, and, all the details around that before you'd actually use it, correct?
Great. So I'm a new marketer, or maybe I'm a marketer who's been doing this for a really long time. Either way, I'm struggling to figure out where to start. If I want to narrow my lens of all of this information, and you said it's kind of like a big circle of, and we go round on it because marketing is a conversation that takes us in many different directions and never ends. If we want to measure what really matters, if we want to collect data and have information and inform in a way that matters, what is your recommendation on a good place to start? It seems so overwhelming of a task. How would you quiet some of those voices inside us that say, holy cow, this is just an overwhelming idea? Where would you recommend someone start?
It really can be overwhelming because, as we've mentioned just on this call, there's just so much data, and it's really hard to decide, where do you start? What is important? But the one thing that I always like to start with is internal company data. The data that we already have, that we've already collected as a company. So we know where that data came from. And we know what it was used for, what the original intended purpose was. So, not that the other data is not important, but you know, we always say, okay, let's start with some secondary data, and that's a great place to start. But it's more of just looking at that secondary data to kind of get a feel for what data is available. But that really can start guiding your decision as a company and as a marketer to say, okay, you know, this is everything that's out there, but what we need as a company is a different primary source, and this is how we need this data to be collected. So I think a lot of data can be useful, but again, it kind of goes back to how much attention you pay to that data and how you're planning to use that data.
So I have to ask you this, Jennifer, because, and this may seem like a really silly question. So here we are two marketers, and you're a passionate marketer, and, you know, I spend my days in marketing, and we're talking about data. Why are marketers spending so much time talking about data if what we're really trying to do is communicate and engage with customers and our audience? It seems kind of funny that we're the ones talking data.
It does, doesn't it? And yeah. I actually thought that when I originally decided that marketing was my major, and the amount of math classes that came up on my list that I had to take, I was, no, why all this math? And now I truly understand the more you look at the data and understand the mathematics and the statistics behind it, the better. So the simplest answer is, you know, why as a marketer are we looking at so much data? Well, you know, because data is so powerful. And, you know, not only do we have a lot of data today as companies, but the consumers have a lot of data today, and that gives our customers more power than they have ever had before. So we have to stay one step ahead of them. And, you know, it used to be, you know, decades ago where, you know, everything with marketing is, you know, we pushed things out, right? It was a one-way conversation. You know, this is, you know, an offer. Here's a coupon. Here's, you know, a promotion. But that's not how it is anymore, because customers can talk to us. They want to talk to us. We talk to them as companies and brands. And it's this two-way conversation that's happening all the time. And customers don't want us to talk to them anymore. They want to talk with us. They want to tell us, you know, and believe me, they tell us all the time, this is what we like about your brand or company. This is what we don't like. And you know, and people like to complain, but as marketers, even that data is powerful because it's a way that we can continue to evolve and grow so that we can meet those ever-changing customer needs. And, you know, think about it from a brand perspective. If we created a product, you know, even if it was a widget, that's the only thing we ever created. We never looked at how it performed, what it did, what customers wanted, no customer satisfaction surveys. Well, that's all we would have. And even if our original customer base kept buying that widget, well, they would eventually die, and the widget would die with it. So just like the graveyard you talked about when we started the call today. And we don't want that to happen as brands and companies. You know, what we want to do is be able to evolve with our customer base. And as that product evolves with them, there are other brand offerings that, you know, line extensions, product extensions, that are there to meet those up-and-coming customers so that as that product, you know, moves through the life cycle, the customers are also moving through that life cycle. So, you know, it's an evolving process.
It certainly is. And it sounds like this is what you teach in the audience segmentation course at the WVU Masters of Science program in data marketing communications. And your students are very fortunate to have you teaching this course, engaging with them and sharing with them these insights and getting them thinking about customer and non-customer audience segmentation in this way. We have just 1 minute left, and in that 1 minute, can you give me a short soundbite? What's it like teaching at WVU?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's really such a great experience. West Virginia is a great university. They have so many wonderful offerings. And, you know, as an adjunct professor who's also working in the industry, I love how relevant everything is that we teach. It's real time. It's real world. It's immediately impactful so that the students are really learning what's going on in the business world so that when they're in the business world, you know, a lot of them are, and if they're not, when they get there, you know, that we've equipped them and, you know, we have the power to do that at the university because the data is so relevant and the educational materials, that we've really equipped them to go out and be successful. So it's great to be a part of the university and to be able to give back. And, you know, once again, I feel like it's data, right? It's coming full circle, you know, and I can see that
yes.
happening. So.
Well, we're very fortunate to have you on the faculty and greatly appreciate you sharing your time with me today on WVU Marketing Today. Thank you, Jennifer Holt, and we look forward to catching up with you down the road and hearing more from you in the future. You have a nice day,
Great.
Jennifer.
Thank you so much. Bye.
You've been listening to another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today from West Virginia University at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and marketing practice.